Blog Talk Radio.
Finding the love of your life, the ultimate reconnaissance mission. But you did it, and you want to protect the life you've built together through thick and thin. Be their protector for life with life insurance from USAA.
Get a quote today at usaa.com/life.
Blog Talk Radio.
Friday night at the Pajama Party. I'm one of your hosts, Papa Didi. I'm here with Kettle.
Hello.
And Red Wine.
Bonsoir.
All right. We're hanging out at Chuck's...
what's the event
name is
Chuck Hicks event.
Chuck Hicks event. He's
That's a yearly event.
Yearly. Good. Good. Kettle, what does he do?
It's a yearly event that he hosts, and he have, you know, you bring toys for the kids and a $25 donation to support families and children of HIV and AIDS Foundation. Chuck Hicks, he's very prominent in the DMV area, and that's where we are. We're hanging out with him tonight.
Okay, so we're pre-recording the show tonight so that we can hang out with Chuck and all the kids and support the event, support the community. So if you want to come down, what's the address, Kettle?
1410 Missouri Avenue Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20011. It's, quote-unquote, at the Big White House. And the event is from 5:30 to 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so by the time the show airs, it should be wrapping up, but you can still reach out to the Pajama Party crew if you'd like to make a donation to help out the kids and the families in need.
All right.
You know, do something nice.
Yeah.
Help a sister, help a brother, help a family in need.
Yep, it's holiday season. Why not?
Okay. So we're going to do an abbreviated show tonight while we're hanging out with Chuck.
We're not taking calls tonight either. Like I said, this is pre-recorded. So
let's get into what's popping tonight.
Oh, I'm going first.
Yep, you're up first. Pass the mic to Papa Didi. What's popping tonight, Papa Didi?
Oh, man, what's popping tonight with me is... I say don't fall for the okey-doke. You know, in this great motherland that we call America, there's a lot of things laying around in America, so just watch yourself. You know, we like to drive cars and do things like that, and let's just focus on cars and auto repairs for a minute. There's a lot of auto repair shops out here that are really perpetrating the biggest fraud in the world. A lot of them are run by, you know, quote-unquote foreign entities that don't celebrate the national mechanic seal that they should put on the wall to show that they're certified mechanics. They don't do it. They just have it open. Some of them may be even a front for something else. But these people claim they could change a motor, they could do this, they could do that, they could do everything. You know, just for example, and I'll keep this quick, I needed a motor in my vehicle, and a gentleman told me that he found two motors. One was had 68,000 miles. Other had 140,000 miles. I said, well, how do you know it had 68,000 miles? He said, well, the people I deal with, I just believe what they said. I said, okay, wow. I mean, when people talk to you like that and they just expect you to fall for the okey-doke, just watch yourself. Don't, you know, pick up a bus schedule or something for a minute. If your car goes, you know. Nowadays, bus schedules are run with timelines. And you can pull up on pull the app up on a bus line or a metro line. And sometimes you got to just deal with public transportation for a couple of days. Don't fall to okie doke because you used to drive. People are used to driving. I know public transportation sounds like a foreign entity, but sometimes you may need to ride that bus for a minute to come back to your damn senses. And don't let that person okie doke you by getting the repair done. This way you can drop from your excitement back to your common sense. Because when you're excited about getting your car fixed, something's wrong, somebody's trying to run a deal on you, yada, 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 you lose common sense. It goes out the window. And most people nowadays, they don't fix your car while you wait. They say, drop it off. Come back and get it. All right, pick it up tonight. You don't know what that car is going to do between 9 and 5. You know, it's sitting there for 8 hours. People driving it. They're driving your car to do their chores during the day. So it's very interesting. Just watch yourself all the way around. I mean, okie doke is out there in every business almost. So just when people talk to you, don't get arrogant with them, because you might need them in the long run. But let's hear them out, but almost hear out how much they're going to treat you like you're completely stupid. Take the time to listen to how they downplay you, and they're the damn foreigners. How about that? Wow. So which means they've come to America, they've granulated the system, they learned to manipulate the people, and now they're dogging us. They're steering our ship. They're telling us what to do, where to go. So anyway, I just want to close out on that particular situation. Please don't fall for the okie doke. If you got a major repair to be done, be patient. Relax yourself. Ride a bus. Ride a metro for a day. Come back to your senses.
Okay. All right now. I'll go for the okie doke.
Right. We'll keep it moving.
Yeah, we're going to go. Let's see. We have one weird news story for tonight.
I'm telling you, this is a weird one. But if you need some protein in your diet,
bread.
I'm scared. Bread made of insects to be sold in the Finnish supermarket. In Copenhagen, Denmark, which I will not go. One of Finland's largest food companies is selling what it claims to be a first, insect bread. Marcus Hellstrom, some hell of a name, head of the Fazer Group's bakery division, he says one loaf contains about 70 dried house crickets ground into powder and added to the flour. Mm. The farm-raised crickets represent 3% of the bread's weight. Finns are known to be willing to try new things, he's saying, the particular supermarket. He goes on to say that good taste, freshness were among the main criteria for the bread. Finns have the most positive attitudes toward insects. Okay. Goes on to say, we made crunchy dough to enhance taste. The result was delicious and nutritious. Cricket bread is a good source of protein, and insects also contain good fatty acids, calcium, iron, and vitamin B12. Mankind needs new and sustainable sources of nutrition. So I guess this new insect bread, I guess this is the end thing now for source of nutrition.
No.
You wouldn't be interested, everyone?
No. Well, I would have to definitely take a pass on that. What do they call it, crunchy dough? No, I don't want any crunchy dough. I like my dough to be the way dough should be.
Oh, boy. It says the bread will be available in 47 bakeries in Finland in a subsequent round of sales. Yep.
Nope.
But check this out. It says in Switzerland, supermarket chain Coop began selling burgers and balls made from insects in September.
Mm-mm.
Insects can also be found on supermarket shelves in Belgium, Britain, Denmark, and the Netherlands.
Do they have some kind of infestation problem that they're trying to get rid of? And they say rather than just killing the bugs, we can sell them in food products?
Copenhagen is actually nice.
But what's up with the insects? Why are they trying to push insects on people to eat? So I'm wondering, like, is there, like, a situation where they're trying to get rid of them?
It's a good source of protein. It goes on to say the UN's Food
so is chicken.
And Agriculture Organization has promoted insects as a source of human food.
Must be good, though.
Saying they are healthy and high in protein and minerals.
In
you sound like you would try it.
Well, Finland people are very, you know.
Yeah, but you're not Finnish.
Nice.
So
they're very
you
nice or crazy?
No, they're nice. They're very
Papa Didi, I'm asking you a direct question. Would you try it?
No problems over there because, you know, they're very relaxed on their drugs and stuff, too.
That's not, okay.
Hashish and
yes or no question.
Hashish and opium is
bug bread.
I don't know.
You wouldn't try? If somebody said, well, try this bread, and they didn't tell you what was in it, you wouldn't try it?
Would you just heat it up and slap some butter on it and say it's crunchy, but it's interesting? And then somebody said, well, that's insect bread. Mm. How would you feel about that?
Well, I'd be able to. They're American, too.
brush it over there.
So you can get the bugs out of your teeth.
I was like brushing my teeth afterwards, you know.
OMG. Yeah, that was interesting. I don't know if that was weird news or nasty news or crazy news. I don't know.
Okay. That was the weird news.
Bug bread. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. For you folks out there tonight, there is no calls tonight. We're pre-recording because we're going to hang out with Chuck tomorrow.
That's right.
All right now.
On Friday, tonight, mm-hmm. we're going to hang out with Chuck.
All right.
So I did have another quick one about a case in Arkansas where it looks like the Amazon Echo, those little things you can talk to Alexa.
Talking back.
Like they were using that as evidence.
Huh?
Yeah. They were using it. Prosecutors have dropped the case against a James Bates, who they had charged with first-degree murder based on evidence collected from his Amazon Echo speaker.
Really?
Yep.
So what happened? I mean, I'm not understanding.
It said that people were curious about the case, and they started looking, and somehow they said that there was supposedly he began a recording. Of course, as soon as somebody says Alexa, and they said what they know is that the man had some friends over at his house to watch a football game. One of the friends was found dead in the hot tub in the backyard.
Oh, my God.
Police later charged... Stop, Papa Dee. Police charged the man who lived in the house with murder. He pleaded not guilty.
Right.
As the police investigated the crime, they found a number of digital devices in the suspect's house, including the Amazon Echo device.
Interesting.
They seized the device and apparently got some information from it.
Wow.
Which they didn't disclose what it was, but apparently it was enough to get him off the hook.
Wow.
So Alexa must have had something on there. Somebody must have called her name and she recorded some stuff.
Might have been an accident. The man must have, you know, might have had an accident in the hot tub.
Could have been.
Wow. Oh, Alexa. One for Alexa, huh?
Yeah, that's one for my girl.
That's a bad girl.
Alexa saves the day.
All right now.
Who thought of that?
I know. Who would ever thought?
I like those things. I like being able to ask her, what time is it? What's the weather like? Is the traffic bad? You know, what's happening in the news? You can get all kind of good information.
I can imagine.
I'm not mad at Alexa.
Where thou, Romeo?
Yeah. I tried to get her to address me as Your Majesty, but it didn't work.
She probably said, who is that?
So I'm going to move on into, I'm just saying.
Okay, come on.
So tonight, I'm just saying, Russia didn't do everything. You know how many times we hear stuff happen in the news and they say, Russia was behind it. This is the fault of Russia. Russian collusion and all this stuff. But I'm just saying tonight, Russia did not do everything. It's almost getting comical how everything that happens in the United States gets blamed on Russia. Russia, Russia, Russia. And if any American points out the absurdity of this argument, they get called either a Moscow stooge or a Putin puppet. How many times have you heard that? He's a Putin puppet. Puppet for Putin. But you remember when Senator Marco Rubio's presidential campaign fell apart? Because, of course, he was, you know, wet behind the ears, knew it, all this stuff. Performed like a robot. People talked about him like a dog. Somehow, all of that got blamed on Russia. I don't understand how or why, but somehow it got blamed on Russia. And then when some Americans, turned against President Obama's Pacific trade deals, you would have thought that it was because people were tired of other stuff, different neoliberal agreements, etc. But some kind of way, it ended up going back to Russia. They were saying, oh, it's the clever Russians. They're behind this. Some people rejected the TPP. I forgot what that stands for now, that deal, because they said of all the Russian propaganda. And then when Hillary Clinton lost the presidential election, that one might have been Russia.
You think?
You know, I think that one might have been Russia. But remember when she said half of Trump's supporters were deplorables?
and all that stuff about the emails and some of the her emails were on Anthony Weiner's server or a laptop or something. All that stuff, some kind of way, circled back once again to Russia. But I'm just saying, Russia didn't do everything. I know they did a lot of stuff, but they did not do everything. Everything is not Russia's fault. Now, Russia did undermine the democratic process by releasing a lot of actually truthful information on WikiLeaks and gave information about the Democratic National Committee, how they rigged the process against Bernie Sanders, how they revealed the contents of Hillary Clinton's hidden Wall Street speeches, pay-to-play stuff that she was involved in, foreign entities, and who knows what else. That was Russia. But people say that evil Russians undermined American democracy by convincing the American people with truthful information. Well, if it's truthful, then it wasn't so much that they did anything. They just told people the truth. So you can't blame the Russians for that, but yet they were behind it. So now you know how the game is played. And the idea is that no matter what happens, just blame Russia. If you get to work late, blame the Russians. If your kids are acting a fool, hey, blame the Russians. If a file disappears on your computer, it was the Russians. You know it was, because that's how they roll. I'm just saying. If you get fired from your job, tell the boss you deserve another chance because the Russians were the cause of you doing whatever it was that caused you to get fired. I'm just saying. When the stock market drops, it's the Russians. If a company files for bankruptcy, you know it was the Russians. And if somebody gets busted for sexual harassment, you know it was the Russians that set them up. Now, you know that. You know they want to blame the Russians for all this stuff. But I'm just saying, real talk, people need to stop blaming the Russians for everything. I'm sure Russia is behind some crazy stuff and probably will continue to be. But I'm just saying, Russia didn't do everything. And I am by no means a Russian sympathizer. But I'm just saying, put the blame where the blame is due. If you did it, own it. Stop blaming the Russians for everything. I mean, really, somebody drank all my wine. Now, am I going to say it was the Russians? Heck yeah. It was the Russians drank up all my wine. So I'm just saying, come on, y'all. Stop blaming the Russians for everything. They didn't do everything. But I know they did do some stuff. That's all I'm saying tonight. Hey, oh, blame the Russians. Oh, hip hip hooray.
That was a good one. All right, red wine. Blame the Russians, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, how many more news stories have we heard? Every day, or like every other day, mm-hmm. some news story breaks, and somehow it circles back to the Russians.
Yep, you
I'm like, man, they must be like, what was that character in the cartoon, the Great Gazoo?
Uh-huh.
It must be the Great Gazoo. They do everything.
Must be. All right, we're going to keep it moving. We'll take a little break, or we'll keep moving?
Yeah, I guess we have time to take a quick break. Mm-hmm. Want to do that? All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we are not taking any calls tonight because we are pre-recorded. We are hanging out at Chuck Hicks' event. Kettle, can you tell the folks about the event one more time?
Sure. Chuck Hicks, he's a very prominent gentleman in the DMV. He gives a benefit every year, the first Friday of December. His event is tomorrow, Friday, from 5:30 to 9:00. At 1410 Missouri Avenue Northwest, Washington, D.C. And he is helping families and children with some HIV/AIDS. So bring a toy and a $25 donation. So we're going to take a little CC, and I guess it'll be right
and we'll
back.
Be right back with Papa Dee Dee and Living for the City.
All right.
The Pajama Party Show.
How you doing? I'm Papa Dee Dee, one of the hosts of the Pajama Party. And I'm here to introduce you to two of the segments I have on the Pajama Party. One is called What's Popping with Papa Didi, and the other one's called Living for the City. What's Popping is maybe a topic that really popped at me that week about something really going on that's serious. And on Living for the City, I talk about stuff that has to do with the inner city, the suburban life, and life as we know it as far as the hood is concerned and everything thereof, because as Moore said, the whole world is a ghetto. So we'll talk about all that. So join me, Papa Didi, every Friday for my two segments of What's Poppin' and Living for the City.
Okay, welcome back to the Pajama Party. We are pre-recorded tonight, so no phone calls, please. So I'm my host, Papa Didi. I'm here with Kettle.
Hello.
And Red Wine.
Bonsoir.
I just pulled out a very vintage cigar, and I wanted Kettle and Red Wine to smell it. But they have no class, so the nostrils couldn't even pick up on the smell. I knew that from the beginning.
Disgusting.
I didn't even waste the nostril breath on them. Uh-huh. What are you going to do? Anyway, I would like to talk about things that we don't understand. Mm-mm. Okay, I'm going to break this down very, very simple, very prominent, okay? Because, see, right now, we are in the midst of a time frame where there is a certain group of people out here. Now, when we say group of people, don't be intimidated by people, because let me tell you something about people, okay? We're all made of the same thing. You know, we all possess the same things other than, you know, maybe the male and female aspect of life, which maybe you have a slight difference in things. But other than that, you know, when it comes to diseases and colds and flus and things like that, you know, it shows no discrepancy. Anything can happen to anybody, whether it be liver, kidney, whatever happens, very, you know, a disease or anything, is very non-discriminative. So that's what we should focus on as far as what brings us together. Now, let's focus on this here. It seems lately that the senators and the congressmen kind of feel like they're cut from a different breed. Like, they're totally different. Now, remember, mind you, all these people, they were just elected. They all just did some campaigning, and somebody pulled a lever and voted for them, which is the simplest process to get a damn job than you could ever imagine. It's not like you got an interview and things like that, wear a suit, you know, and worry about this and got competition and all this, you know. It's merely elections. Somebody votes for you and you get in. Then all of a sudden, after you vote, people don't vote in midterm elections. That's why a lot of people are allowed to be in the Senate until they're 80 damn years old. Because it's almost like, you know, the movie Distinguished Gentleman. You know, vote for the name you know. The name you know. And like the lady said, honey, who do we usually vote for? You know, and people just pull the lever. Nobody takes any kind of investigation or anything. But let me say this here. They have something now which they're going to vote on as soon as possible. And it's called the tax bill or something to that effect, right? Mm-hmm. Now, this tax bill, if you don't understand it, then you should protest against it. Anything in this world that's going to affect you, you should have a sense of understanding about it. It's almost like reading the back of a Del Monte can of peas. If you don't know how to cook peas, you turn the can over before you open it up and read it. How do I cook peas? It's just so simple. You don't just sit back and let people do what they're going to do. You know, the people that put this bill together did it to their benefit. I mean, in most cases, you can't blame them. People are going to vote for something that caters to their particular status at the time. But their status is not our status, not your status. And we are of the majority. So therefore, when we satisfy rich folks, that's all we're doing. And remember this here, too. When they're satisfying rich folks, believe me, Oprah is rich. You know, entertainers are rich. Basketball players are rich. Football players are rich. So sometime in all actuality, when it comes to tax bills, they're not on your side. Don't get it twisted. They may be, you know, carrying the brown skin and saying all the brown things, but deep down inside, they're not talking, but they'll look at the bill and say, oh, damn, I can save success on my first $10 million I file, blah, 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 blah. And they're with it. They ain't talking about it, but they're with it because it's in their class. So you can't say Trump is doing something because, you know, he's catering to what his income is. Well, hell, Oprah got this much money as he does. So if it's good for Trump, it must be good for Oprah. Don't get it twisted. She's a nice lady. Don't get me wrong. You know, I mean, you know, Kettle loves her. Anyway, but I'm just saying, you know,
girl.
But deep down inside, Kettle is on the side of the fence of whoever catered to her particular income. Oprah's not making $40,000 a year. Believe me, she's not. No, she's not. No, she's not. So she'll be down with it. But when they talk about this bill, if they say things of what's in it and they start talking all this gibberish, as they say, and you don't understand it, then you should talk to your congressperson about what the hell am I, are you guys signing? I'm one of your constituents that voted for you. How come you didn't make something legible that I can understand? Because if you don't understand it and it passes, then you are the biggest asshole on the planet, excuse the expression. Because something happened you wasn't aware of and you didn't understand. You know? And you have to look at that. Anything you do in life, you know, when you go to crank up that car, you know for it to be in park before you turn the key. You know? Everything you do out there, you know how to work it. The lawnmower, the blender, even your little thing you do. What do you call that red wine? Your little mashy thing? Your little, you crush the little stuff in the bowl. What is that called? Your little...
Oh, guacamole.
No, your little thing, you little tool you use. Anyway.
We make drinks, and you have to muddle.
Yeah, she muddles. Yeah, red wine's a crazy muddler. Anyway, but red wine knows how to work a muddler, and I don't. So, therefore, red wine does the muddling. But I'm just saying, and joking and all this jazz, getting back into seriousness and wrapping things up. When they start talking about this tax bill, don't sit back and just let things happen, because you know what? When the 2017 tax time comes along and you go to file for your earned income credit on your house, for example, let's just say you paid $17,000 in interest, but now with the new rule, you're only going to be eligible for $8,000 of that $17,000. That means somebody done circle jerked your ass. And you didn't find out the truth about it until April 15th of 2018, which is my birthday, by the way. But anyway.
It's real.
But, you know, like I said, in closing, you know, try to understand what's going on TV. When they say, yeah, we got 50 people to vote for. All 50 people that's voting for that bill is rich. They're rich. And the bill suits them just fine. If they want to build a business, whatever they want to do. And the business people are down with it because it's benefiting them. They think that everybody, if we do this here in the future, you don't know the future. Half of you congressmen are 80 years old. You won't be here. So what are you talking about what's going to pay back in 10 years? Are you kidding me? You're already 82 years old. In 10 years, please, you'll be pissing in your pants. We'll be putting the pens on you in the House of Congress. They put on your drawers, put some pens on them. He don't want to give up. He don't want to quit. Okay, wrap some pens on his ass so he can keep on moving. You know, I mean, come on. This is crazy. Anyway, like I said, been wrapping up. Always try to understand something that's going down that's about to be passed. Because if they pass this tax bill and you don't understand it, believe me, you're going to be screwed by April 15th, which is my birthday, by the way.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Okay.
All right, Papa D. All right, Papa.
Did I miss April 15th for my birthday?
Yeah, you made my head spin about 3-4 times.
I think you did mention that.
But I'm listening to this tax bill. Watch out now.
Yeah, and they're going to present it maybe midnight tonight. And that's when they do stuff, is at midnight.
Yeah.
They're going to go in Congress. And these people really work.
And you wake up and see this.
And then once they do, but they're going to say, oh, we're taking a Christmas break. We'll be back in March.
Uh-huh.
Because the ones who said, even the Republicans who said that they were going to vote against it, mm-hmm. It looks like they all went for it.
Because it looked and said, oh,
like, what happened?
Because
y'all
McCain
sold out? What happened?
Because McCain owns 5 houses in Phoenix. And he's like, oh, damn. If I sign this, I can get this. You know?
They sold out.
It's to their benefit.
Mm-hmm. All right. So. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're coming back and going to the West Coast with the Hollywood Wrap-Up with Kettle.
Hey, this is Redline. Just doing a few promos for the Pajama Party Adult Online Radio Talk Show. You know how we do it. PJs only. No clothes allowed. And I was just trying to get this done.
Hey, Redline. Are you talking about the Pajama Party? Where we talk about hot topics, movie reviews, living for the city, and what's popping with me about Dee Dee.
I know you guys aren't doing this spot without me. Kettle with the Yellow Clock. Did you tell everybody that they can reach us at pajamaparty.com or call us live, 914-803-4306. Check us out on Twitter, and don't forget to tip the list.
Okay, now is the time for me to sing.
Oh,
me,
no,
me,
no,
me,
no,
me,
no,
me.
No, we don't have time for all that.
Let's get back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Pajama Party. I'm one of your hosts, Papa Didi. I'm here with Kettle.
Hello.
And Red Wine.
Bonsoir.
We're doing a pre-recorded show tonight.
Woo-woo.
We're going to, what's his name, Chuck?
Chuck Hicks.
Chuck Hicks. Chuck Hicks is having a, sort of like a,
benefit.
Fundraiser for, you know, it's Christmas. It's a very noble thing to do. I need to do more stuff like that. People call me a heathen.
No.
Anyway.
You need to team up with Chuck Hicks.
Yeah, I do. All right.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
It's for HIV and AIDS families and children.
Wow, that's amazing.
And it's you bring a toy and $25 donation.
God bless them.
So it's at 1410 Missouri Avenue Northwest, Washington, D.C. And it's from 5:30 to 9.
Mm-hmm. 15 out. CP time.
We're going to go support them. All right. Well, let's get to the West Coast.
All right.
You got some Hollywood news for us this week.
There you go. Let me get my little drink on.
Yeah, wet your whistle. All right.
You good now?
Yeah.
All right.
If you guys didn't see Bruno Mars on Wednesday night, you guys better go back and get it on demand. When Bruno Mars hit the stage for his first TV special, Mars' energetic and slick dance moves and smooth vocals are the forefront of Bruno Mars' 24 Magic Live at the Apollo. That was Wednesday night at 10. If y'all missed it, shame on you, because it was the bomb diggity. He recorded the special at the Apollo Theater in New York's Harlem Theater. He goes on to say, you got to perform it a few times to get your bones to get it right, to work out all the kinks. It's never going to be right the first time. So he said, by the time we got to film the Apollo, we were already well-oiled machine. Go ahead, boy. People are going to get their best that I got. I heard that, and that's what we got, because it was off the chain. Mars said he chose to film the one-hour special at the Apollo, which he calls a magical place because of the venue's rich history in music and pop culture. Mars performed the song 24K Magic on top of the Apollo Marquee in the special. He also filmed various scenes throughout New York City, from eating at hot spots to meeting his fans. The coolest part about that was the locals in Harlem. That was on point. He seems like a young cat, but he's 32. I'm like, go ahead, boy, moves like that. He rocking and rolling. It says the 24-karat Magic album reached double platinum status. Goes on to say this month he won 5 Soul Train Awards and 7 American Music Awards, including Artist of the Year. Mars picked up Video of the Year, the BET Awards, and he won his 5th Grammy Award earlier this year. Mars received 6 Grammy nominations, including Record of the Year and Album of the Year for 24K Magic. All right, now, he goes on to say, I feel like people understand what I'm doing and what I'm trying to do and what I stand for when it comes to everything, the music, the videos. He said, I work hard. I said, all right, boy, he sure does.
Uh-huh.
He's got to lose about 10 pounds every time he's jamming.
Wee.
Right. So if you guys didn't catch that special, you guys got to check it out. That was this past Wednesday at 10. On this day in entertainment, Thriller, 1982. Thriller is the 6th studio album by American singer Michael Jackson. It was released on November 30th, 1982, by Epic Records and internationally by CBS Records. It explores genres including pop, post-disco, rock, and funk. So he recorded this from April to November 1982, and the production budget was $750,000. It sounds like a lot, but that probably was dropping the bucket.
Mm.
Quincy Jones produced the album, and Jackson wrote 4 of its 9 songs. The awards that it won were Grammy Award for Album of the Year, Grammy Hall of Fame, Grammy Award for Best Engineer Album, Non-Classical. Boy, it was bad. MJ, I'm telling you.
All right.
Yep.
Unfortunately, we have lost another one, Jim Nabors, the cheerful Gomer Pyle on two TV series. He died at 87. Jim Nabors, who starred as Gomer Pyle on The Andy Griffith Show, on his own and also on his own sitcom before retiring, the wide-eyed, countrified character, he died at 87. Nabors died at his home in Hawaii on Wednesday, his husband told a reporter. A native of Alabama, Nabors also recorded more than two dozen albums with a rich operatic baritone voice that surprised those who were used to hearing Nabors exclaim, "Golly," with a southern twang. That was funny. He was funny.
Mm-hmm.
In the early 60s, Nabors was a regular performer at the Horn Cabaret Theater on Wilshire Boulevard in Santa Monica that showcased new talent. When he was spotted by Andy Griffith, who thought Nabors would be perfect to play a new character on his CBS sitcom. That would be Gomer. He played Gomer Pyle. Nabors also signed for just one episode, but apparently they liked him. So this was in the middle of the third season in 62, but Gomer proved popular. Nabors went on to appear in 23 installments of the series. Nabors ran run on the Andy Griffith, culminated with fourth season finale, in which Gomer joins the U.S. Marines. He did have a spinoff.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Right. So it lasted for it says for 5 years. That was interesting. Mhm. So which I didn't realize, but I think some time ago I did find out he was gay. He had been with his partner for over 40 years. They finally married in 2013, and they lived in Honolulu. He was a former firefighter, his companion. Former pal.
I didn't know they got married.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. More news on the forefront on the sexual harassment. Russell Simmons is stepping down from his companies after being accused of sexual assault by writer Jenny Lummett. In a guest column in The Hollywood Reporter, Lummett accuses the Def Jam co-founder of forcing her to have sex in 91. In a statement, Simmons said he had a different recollection of their encounter, but said Lummett's feelings of fear and intimidation are real. He apologized to Lummett, who is the daughter of director Sidney Lummett. As a woman of color, I cannot express how wrenching it is to write this about a successful man of color. For his part, Simmons said, "While I have never been violent, I have been thoughtless and insensitive to some of my relationships over many decades, and I sincerely and humbly apologize." In addition to his music work, Simmons is a successful film and television producer and the founder of such clothing fashion lines as Fat Farm and Tantris. This isn't the first time he has been accused of the harassment assault. Earlier this month, model Carrie Clausen accused Simmons of forcing her to have sex. I'm like, okay,
wow.
You're not doing too much. She goes on to say, she said the businessman worked in conjunction with director Brett Ratner, we talked about him a couple of weeks ago, to lure her to his apartment. Another woman, Tanya Reed, also accused Simmons of pressuring her to perform oral sex on Ratner. Both men deny the allegations.
Of course.
As for me, I will step aside and commit myself to continuing my personal growth, spiritual learning, and above all, to listening. Simmons is the latest high-profile figure to become engulfed in a sexual assault scandal. The likes of Kevin Spacey, Harvey Weinstein, Charlie Rose, oh boy, John Lasseter, and now recently Matt Lauer. So, unfortunately, the Today Show host, Matt Lauer, everybody knows now, addressed a growing spate of allegations that he harassed and assaulted women during his tenure at the NBC Morning Institution, apologizing for his actions and vowing to fix the damage he caused.
He goes on to say, there are no words to express my sorrow and regret for the pain I have caused others by words and actions. To the people I have hurt, I am truly sorry. As I am writing this, realize the depth of the damage and disappointment I have left behind at my home at NBC. Wow. Laura's actions disclosed in a Variety investigation that reported the accounts of current and former NBC News staffers, as well as three women who identified themselves as victims of sexual harassment by the anchor. I saw a few things that Katie Couric, she said a few things. He would tap her on the behind a lot.
Uh-huh.
And there was another thing that they had on the TV today that Meredith, that used to be on there, he mentioned something about, you know, she bent over to pick up some papers, and he said, you know, could you bend over so I could, you know, see your nice sweater or something. He said something about a sweater. Oh, boy, what are we going to do?
Well, no, I take that back. I do have a comment. I think that at this point, with all the accusations of sexual harassment, I think that these companies that are saying, well, we need to have a training program in place, I really do think that this is beyond a corporate training program. This is the kind of stuff that you get trained when you are being raised. You know, there are certain things that are just inappropriate. You should not have to have a corporate training program to tell you what's appropriate and what's not. You know, aren't there some things in terms of, like, the moral boundaries that let you know invading somebody else's space, reaching out and touching somebody else who has not invited you to touch them? Why doesn't that set off some kind of alarm in your head to let you know, maybe I shouldn't do this? You know, I'm just saying it shouldn't be like now all these companies, major corporations are saying, well, we're going to put a training program in place to make sure everybody understands what sexual harassment is. And I'm like, are you serious? If you know what sex is, you know what foreplay is, you know what all these things are. If you're in the workplace, you should already know this is not the place for that. You come to work to do a job. You don't come to work to get laid. I mean, some people do, but that's not the place for that.
Right.
So if that's what your objective is, then you already know you're crossing way over the line. So when you start patting butts and touching breasts and or grabbing crotches or whatever, men and female, when you do that kind of stuff, you've already crossed the line. I cannot believe that you don't realize that you've crossed the line. Why do you need a training program to tell you that?
Papa trying to say something. What's up, Papa? What's your feelings? I agree with what you're saying.
Okay. I just think that people getting accused, they are making too much money to be crapping where they eat, which is all boils down to. Because a lot of these guys are married. And a lot of them is taking marriage as something to check off the checklist. When they go to apply for this or do that, or be prominent or have their resume complete, you know, such and such, such and such, college graduate, married with children. It just goes into the flow, but it has nothing to do with his loins and his desires.
Mm-hmm.
His desires is in a whole other place, and if you're a millionaire, damn, just buy some coochie for God's sake.
Yeah,
every week if you have to, and keep it moving. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of massage parlors with happy endings and whatever it is you need to do to stretch yourself out. But to deal with other people, deal with interns and people like that, these people hate you because these people are trying to get where you are. Everybody started somewhere. I remember Matt Lauer, for example. He used to be a news commentator for HBO. HBO used to have commercials. Or their own commercials at the middle of a segment, like before a movie.
Mm-hmm.
HBO News, and Matt Lauer would do his little news. He was young as ever. Here's HBO News, blah, 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 blah. And NBC picked him up from HBO. He did a news segment.
Mm-hmm.
Young guy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So go to show that you started somewhere. So everybody that comes in that building, and now when you see him being the great Matt Lauer, and they look at you, they're all at all.
Right.
You know, that's what people get off on.
That's what it is.
Some people get off on the fact that people are starstruck and anything else, and they're just ready. You know, what's the name? Usher just done it,
and gave the girl herpes or whatever the case may be behind that. But, you know, as soon as she saw him, she freaked out. And he did this. Next thing you know, he had herpes, and it was just a mess. So they just, I don't know, it seems like they just can't kind of spend any money, man. Go to St. Croix. Go to St. Martin. Get laid, man. Go to Copenhagen where you got the hashish and you got the black opium and you got the prostitutes and legal. They all stay in little rooms and they pose and they stand like behind this lighted door and they all pose and you say, give me that
but
one.
I agree with you about people being starstruck. I think sometimes people get caught up.
That's when they get them.
And if you don't have something within you that says it's one thing to be starstruck and be awed in the presence of this person, but you have to remember that I'm not willing to literally sell my soul to try to get a piece of the action.
But here's the deal,
and
though.
When people cross that line, you can't cross that line, and then when you get home and start feeling bad, decide, oh, no, I don't think I should have done that. Now I'm going to turn the tables and say this person did something that I didn't want them to do. You got to be fair.
But they're being cheap, though. That's the problem. When they get done doing their thing with the girl or corner her in a room or something like that, they think, well, you know, because a lot of stars that I heard, they carry $100 bills in their pocket. Will Smith, a lot of them say they carry $100. Muhammad Ali carried about $100 bills. They want to peel off the girl a couple hundred to keep her quiet. You know, they had her in a corner in a broom closet or a refrigerator in a fucking diner or whatever it was. And all of a sudden, it was like once the girl cools down and she sees in Matt Lyle's face that he's just a man. After a while, you
exactly.
get that look of like, I'm just a man look.
Once the reality
and then he goes in his
that.
Pocket and he's like, you know, hey, look, here's a couple hundred. And she's like, a couple hundred? Well, if, first of all, if you're making $13 million a year, why don't you give the girl $5,000? Okay, that's nothing to you. $5,000 is nothing to a millionaire. That's a $5 bill. It really is. It really
is. Yeah,
but
see, the thing is, now you've insulted this woman to say, oh, I can buy you.
They only offered him a couple hundred just to keep him moving. Here,
yeah,
look,
but
go
I'm
buy
saying,
you a dinner on me.
You're treating her like a hooker.
Yeah, but
like,
wait a minute, hold
up. Your time and your services.
But even if it wasn't those services, you can't get a girl $200. Once you give her $5,000, that way you can say, look, I'm sorry.
I'm saying no matter
look, can
what
I give you
amount
$5,000?
That way
you say, yeah, oh, no, it makes a difference. If you didn't do anything to her, at least you say, oh, yeah,
well,
all
that
right,
depends
right.
on whether you were selling it or whether you were giving it away.
Well, no, it's not about
if
even the act
if you're giving it away,
taken.
Then if you offer a woman money, now you have degraded her and insulted her.
No, that depends on what she needs with that money for. I'm not saying it. I'm saying if you haven't done anything with her.
I don't care how many bills you got to pay.
Wait a minute. You
got to
stop thinking so. Wait a minute. We're not talking so asymmetric.
If you were selling it,
we're not talking
so
asymmetric. Let's just say he didn't get with her and he felt bad about what he did. Wouldn't it be better for the girl to walk away with $5,000 instead of $200?
Only if the $5,000 would shut her up.
It's not even just shut her. It'll make her take care of some bills. $200 should be like $200.
You're assuming that was her objective.
$200 is an insult.
You're assuming that was her objective.
No, not at all.
Because
not
that's
when
what they
you're thinking
to
too
do.
Much, red wine.
You're thinking too much. You're
I'm
talking
not at
about
all.
Her bills. You don't know what her bills are. She may not need
I
any
know
money
she can handle
help.
More bills of $5,000 than she can with $200.
She may not need any money.
But let me just go back to what you said about as far as the workplace. First of all, when you start a job, don't you get a handbook?
That's right.
And the handbook says in there, these are the guidelines that you have to abide by or your ass got to go.
That's right.
And that's what these managers or the people that own NBC said. You have, you know, violated the rules or whatever in the workplace. Simple as that. And it has information in there about sexual conduct. They even give you videos on sexual conduct. They do that at least once
right.
a year. I know at my job where I was, they used to do that once
yep.
a year. Even though, okay, I don't need that, but okay, fine. I got to listen to it, but, you know, you got to sign off on it, boom, boom, boom. They already know.
Right.
Just simple as that. They already know.
If you're going to be a celebrity and you're starting to feel bad for what you did, pay that girl celebrity money. And it's not about paying. You got to stop thinking that.
You just said pay her, and I'm saying I got a problem.
But these cheap bastards be trying to give these girls $200-$300.
Because they think they cheap tricks.
They think, right, here you go, look. And that's what a girl says.
That a female
give me $300.
Who decided to break you off or break this man off.
I didn't say that they broke him off. I said that if they didn't do anything. And they know that
they
did something.
Paid if they didn't do anything.
Okay, Redwine, you're overthinking it.
I'm just speaking hypothetically. If we got into a situation, and then when that situation was over, if this man decides to say, well, look, here's, I don't care if it was a couple hundred, couple thousand, whatever. The thing is, if I was not anticipating to get paid for this event, then I would feel like you're now disrespecting me because I'm not a hooker. I wasn't charging. This was a one-night stand kind of thing between two adults, and I'm done with it.
No,
wait a minute.
You're changing the whole narrative.
Why are you trying to give me money?
You're changing the whole narrative. I'm not talking about that at all.
What are you talking about? Why is money involved?
I'm not saying, because I'm saying if by chance I realize, I come to my senses that I'm an anchor on the networks, and I cornered.
So you're talking about hush money.
No, not at all. I'm just saying the fact that if I come to my senses before we do anything, I say, look, you know what? I'm sorry, and I come off to her like I want to just give her money for me being a damn fool. I'm going to give her money that's based on my $14 million check every year. I'm not going to give her $200,000 and then sell her. I'm going to write a check. I'm saying, look, here's $5,000. Take care of some of your bills. Have a nice Christmas. I apologize for really even going there. So she can know that I did something humble. So she ain't got to apply for a damn loan at fucking One Main.
So you
or some old crap. It's not
it
about
that
the
way,
money.
It would
no.
be received.
Well, that's up to her
correct.
To accept that or not. That's an individual basis. Every woman don't think alike, so don't go there, Redwine. Every woman don't think alike. Some woman may have five kids and need that $5,000.
All right.
Especially if she ain't giving no ass. They try to offer the girl that
I don't understand.
They
why
try to offer the woman
money if nothing was.
Well, maybe you're not understanding, so that's not your thing to be worried
that's
about.
That's why I'm trying to understand what you're talking about.
The woman that accused.
About,
the woman that accused
why
Mike.
Why is this man giving
her
money
whoa.
If nothing happened?
You know, this isn't cut and dry. This is very meticulous.
But
don't think it's ever cut and dry.
Why would someone give you money if nothing happened?
Just because they're rich and they feel bad. They got money. Does that sound so crazy?
Yeah.
Okay, well then, I wouldn't be chasing you, honey, because you be messing with my job here.
We'll keep it moving.
Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
I'm just trying to understand the scenario.
I'm just saying a rich man should do the right thing. LeBron James, if he get caught out there and say, you know what, girl, you were fine.
But I'm saying caught in what?
Court.
If you didn't do anything, what you caught in? That's what I'm trying to understand.
We're going
to
leave him
well,
alone. That's a whole other show.
Yeah, you're
I
just,
just
want to
understand. Let's get
a,
why would you offer money if there was nothing done?
Okay, drop
if
the
there is no infraction,
okay,
why
well,
is there an offer of
drop
money?
Drop the biblical aspect and let's pick up the hood
I
aspect.
I didn't say biblical. Well,
that's where you are.
I never
anyway,
said that.
Let's move on.
I didn't say anything.
What's the cocktail of the week, Red Wine? What you got?
Cocktail of the week is why are you going to offer her money?
Go ahead. Go ahead, because you...
She ain't dead, Papa.
Yeah, we're okay, no phone calls tonight. Red Wine is tripping, and we
who
just recording, and, yeah.
I'm just saying, like, why is there... Never mind.
We're going to get to the cocktail.
Okay. Goodness. Leave me! Hello,
yeah. I need
to help party.
If you walk into that mess, I'm going to jump in it.
I'm
so,
parched.
Anyhow, the cocktail of the week this week is called Fall Apples. This is an autumn cocktail. It is a vodka-based cocktail. So if you like vodka, you might like this one.
Nah.
Anyway, it consists of 2.5 ounces of apple juice, 2 ounces of vodka, and just a little squeeze of lime. It's a simple cocktail, quick to make, but it's very refreshing and very reminiscent of the autumn season.
Okay.
So what you can do is put it in a shaker. The 2.5 ounces of apple juice, 2 ounces of vodka. Put that in a shaker with ice. Shake it up well. And you can pour it into a martini glass with a couple of cubes of ice if you like. Or you can make it neat. And once you get it in your martini glass, you can add a squeeze of lime or lemon if you prefer, and then drop the lemon or the lime in the glass. Give it a quick stir, and give it a sip. Tastes like autumn in a glass, so smooth and tasty, like apples falling in a glass, but with a kick.
That's nice, red wine.
Very refreshing.
But don't tip the bartender, because this has nothing to do with money.
Don't
tip the bartender, because this has nothing to do with money.
What is the kissing list, Papa? Yeah, why don't you talk about the kissing list that you were on?
All right, don't tip the bartender, because this has nothing to do with
Papa
money.
Yeah, Papa Didi's on the kissing list, so why don't you tell us about the kissing list?
All right, kissing list is people that shot this up in the fanny pot last week, and we're going to make note of them and got a song for them because they showed their butt. Donald Trump is an honorary member. He's a Gold Star member. We have
what about the NFL making that offer,
Matt Lauer,
all that money to try to get to appease the players?
Yeah, they're
going to
contribute $100 million. That's a lot of money, and if it's going to go to some inner city stuff, they should take it. Don't be freaking out and acting like
NFL. The NFL offered this money, but nobody really knows for sure what is it. How is it going to be?
Well, just let it be. Let it be. Don't red wine it. Anything that is
That's a verb now, really.
Anything that has a blockage. Anything that has a blockage and no clear understanding of the situation is called red wining it.
Okay.
Don't red wine the money.
We have Roger Goodell,
red
and
wine.
The Cowboys tonight. Papa DD. Cowboys. Probably Redskins gonna kick ass tonight. So we'll see.
I don't know. I think the Cowboys.
You mean last night.
That.
You hope they won
last night.
And did I mention Papa Didi's on the kissing list? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, did I mention Red Wine?
All of these sexual predators who have been getting fired lately, I'm not even going to call them out, but all of you are on the kissing list this week.
Too many.
Is anybody else?
Let's see.
What about, what's his name, John Conyers? He's supposedly in the hospital now talking about he's suffering from stress. I don't know.
Well, he's in his 80s, you know. I mean, don't downplay that.
I'm just saying, I don't know that I'm totally buying that. I'm sure he's stressed out. I just don't know whether it requires hospitalization.
Okay. My impression.
I'm just saying, now people are coming out saying he harassed people, sexually harassed people, and instead of him just backing down, leave your position, walk away, quit, you end up in the hospital. I don't know if that's
your attitude. I know sexual harassment never happened to you.
You surprised? Could be.
Would you like?
Okay, what we
and Papa Didi's on the kissing list again.
Okay, what we got for him?
We got a gift for everybody on the kissing list.
Kiss my entire ass.
Kiss my Irish ass. You better kiss my Irish ass.
This world, kiss my ass.
Kiss my ass.
Pajama party. I'm one of those Papa D. I'm here with Kettle.
Hello.
And red wine is completely off the chain.
Sacred.
The damn chastity belt is rusting her inner thighs. She takes the chastity belt off her inner thighs.
I'm being sexually
because
harassed.
Because she just like freaked out.
What is your last word, red wine?
Woo!
My last word. If somebody is sexually harassing you, speak up. Use your voice. Stand up for yourself. Don't rely on anybody else to stand up for you. Use your own voice. Stand up for yourself. Call them out. That's my last word. Happy Friday. We'll be live next Friday night. apajamaparty.com is the website. Thanks to DC Homegrown for keeping the lights on. Over to you, Papa DD.
My last word is, you're rich. And I'm going to say this one more time. If you find yourself as a rich man in the broom closet with someone,
Oh, see, I didn't do that to you, Red Wine. See, Red Wine is being a complete jerk off, and she's on the exhibit. Anyway, here we go. If you find yourself as a rich, prominent person, and you find yourself in a broom closet with someone, and you realize before you pull your Johnson out or you do anything sexual that you are sorry for what you did and you want to rewind the tape and you didn't mean to confront her in that situation and nothing was done, for you to really show your gratitude with her, give her money that constitutes your financial status. Don't go in your right pocket and pull out a freaking $100 bill. That does not work. Because she'll say, you know what, shit, I could have got this from John down the fucking projects, okay? I only $100 from you and you a superstar on TV. Write her a check for $10,000 and say, I'm sorry. That way, if the shit go down with you or her, you can say, you know what, I'm sorry for what I did with her. I gave her a check for $10,000. And here's the goddamn signed copy because she went to Wells Fargo 5 minutes later. Get her ass. Go ahead, Carol. Go on, do your thing.
My last word is, everybody come out this evening for Chuck Hicks, his benefit to benefit HIV and AIDS family and children, 1410 Missouri Avenue Northwest, Washington, D.C., and it's from 5:30 to 9. Come with a contribution of $25 and an unwrapped toy. So we hope to see you down here tonight because that's where we're hanging out tonight and supporting Chuck Hicks. All right. Shout out to Chuck.
Yep. We're out.
Say good night, Papa.
Red Wine is a
Say
mess.
Say good night, Papa.
She's a mess.
See?
I'm going to give her $10.
Say good night, Papa.
Good night.
Say good night, Kato.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. We're out. We'll be back
Probably
next Friday night without Papa Didi.
Yeah, whatever.
Peace.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I bid you farewell, Arrivederci, sayonara, and all that sort of cheers.
Well, when you, I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
Well, good night.
Yabiko, sana.
I regret to announce this is the end. I'm going now.
Good night, and good luck.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Now give me a kiss and say good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you. Goodbye now. Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you for attending our show. And good night.
This is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO has been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.